Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling something really fundamental, I think. Whether you're navigating work stuff, trying to stick to a new habit, or just, you know, dealing with everyday life.
Yeah.
Resilience.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a great mix of your materials here. Bits from the book Resilient, your notes from April 10th, 2025. And what really ties it all together is this idea that resilience isn't just something you're born with.
Right. It's a skill.
Exactly. A learnable skill, super important for actually moving forward in life.
Yeah, absolutely. And for this deep dive, we really want to zero in. Let's get to the heart of resilience, figure out why it's such a powerful force, and maybe most importantly, give you some actual strategies to build it up.
Okay.
We'll definitely be looking at that inner voice, you know, the one that tends to trip us up. How do we get a handle on that internal chat? Think of this as a deep dive lesson two, maybe, building that resilience toolkit, stuff you can actually use.
Okay, sounds good. So let's start by unpacking resilience itself.
Yeah.
Looking through the sources, it feels like it's more than just, you know, bouncing back after something bad happens.
You're totally right. It's definitely more nuanced than just getting back up. The sources talk about it as the ability not just to recover, but to actually stay focused on your bigger goals and keep up sort of positive outlook, even when things are tough. The book Resilient actually makes this interesting point. It's not about ignoring your feelings,
right?
But acknowledging them and then it like strategically shifting your focus anyway. Your notes mention adaptive coping. That's it, isn't it? Adjusting, learning, not just gritting your teeth.
Yeah, adapting and learning. One of the briefing docs even called it the ability to navigate and grow through challenges.
Exactly. Navigate and grow.
So it's not just getting through the storm, it's maybe learning from it, coming out stronger, perhaps a bit wiser.
Mm-hmm.
So why is this skill so, so critical, both at work and, you know, in personal life?
Well, in business, it really does seem to be a powerful tool, almost a competitive edge, you could say. Think about how fast things change now.
Yeah.
Markets, tech, unexpected stuff hitting.
Constantly.
Yeah. Someone who's resilient sees a setback not as like the end of the world, but as feedback. Information.
Okay.
They can pivot, they can adapt, and they generally do better than people who get easily knocked off course by problems.
That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Staying in the game, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, how does it play out there?
Personally, it's like an anchor, isn't it? Life throws curveballs, relationships, health, just the daily grind. Resilience helps you handle that stuff with more balance and keep hold of hope.
Mm-hmm.
Your notes mention the book Resilient aims for empowerment and guidance, using the author's own, you know, mistakes and lessons learned.
Yeah, drawing from personal experience.
Exactly. It's about giving you the tools not just to survive the rough patches, but actually thrive despite them.
And it seems like a huge part of this resilience is our mindset, especially staying positive when things are, well, not great. But that can feel almost impossible when that inner critic starts talking.
Ah, yes. The inner critic. The sources have that great description, don't they? That annoying little gremlin perched on your shoulder.
Yeah, whispering doubts.
Constantly whispering doubt, negativity. We all have it, more or less. And it can seriously hold back our efforts to build resilience. It's like having your own personal obstacle course generator inside your head.
It really is. That voice saying you're not good enough, or you'll definitely fail, or trying something new is just too risky. And that line in the briefing doc, your brain believes what you tell it. Wow. That really drives home how much power our own thoughts have.
It's huge. Think about it like pathways in the brain. We often have these really well-used pathways for negative thoughts. Positive affirmations are like trying to carve new pathways. And the more you use those positive pathways, the stronger they get. It's like learning anything new, really. The sources call affirmations a secret weapon against the critic.
A secret weapon. I like that.
By deliberately choosing positive words, repeating them, you start to chip away at the power of those negative patterns.
Yeah.
You're actively fighting back against that automatic negative talk.
So it's like consciously rewiring our internal messaging system. Instead of letting the gremlin run wild, we challenge it with positive stuff. Your notes mention a couple of really common traps, the all-or-nothing mindset and catastrophizing. I think most people can relate to those.
Oh, definitely. That all-or-nothing trap, if I don't do this perfectly, it's a total failure. Just sets you up for disappointment.
Right? Yeah, totally.
And it makes you blind to any actual progress you are making. And catastrophizing, turning small issues into absolute worst-case scenarios, that can just paralyze you. It stops resilience before it even starts. It's like predicting the whole movie is a disaster based on one slightly off scene.
Okay, so we understand resilience better now. And we've identified this big hurdle, negative self-talk, that inner critic. Now, the really important bit, what practical things do the sources say we can actually do about it?
Yeah, good news is the sources offer a pretty solid toolkit. Encouraging, right? The first really vital step mentioned everywhere is recognizing patterns. You've got to become aware of when these negative thoughts pop up.
Like what triggers them?
Exactly. What are the triggers? What do the thoughts usually sound like? Is it always about a certain type of situation or interacting with certain people?
Kind of like spotting the gremlin's warning signs. Once you know when it's likely to show up, you're better prepared. Okay, so awareness first. Then what?
Then comes the really active part. Challenging negative thoughts. Don't just let them sit there as if they're facts. Question them. Ask yourself, is this thought really true? What actual evidence supports it? And, just as important, what evidence contradicts it? One source has great advice. Question their authority and reminding yourself that you oversee your own self-worth.
Question their authority. I like that phrase. They're just thoughts, not necessarily reality. And your notes had that great reframing example. Instead of, I'm going to fail, shifting to something like, okay, I might face challenges, but I can learn from this. That small change feels huge.
It makes a massive difference. And that leads right into cognitive behavioral techniques. The sources list a few useful ones here. Thought stopping, like literally telling the thought to stop.
Yeah.
When you notice it.
Just interrupt it.
Yeah. And reframing, which we just talked about, they also mention behavioral experiments, basically testing out your negative predictions to see if they actually come true.
Oh, interesting. Like gathering real-world data against the critic.
Sort of, yeah. And even using humor. Laughing at the absurdity of some of those negative thoughts can really take away their power.
Humor? That's kind of unexpected, but I can see how making light of it could deflate the critic a bit. What else is in the toolkit?
Building self-compassion and self-esteem is another huge piece. The sources really emphasize treating yourself with the same kindness you'd show a good friend.
Which we often don't do, right?
Exactly. Accepting imperfections, noticing and celebrating your achievements, no matter how small they seem. There's that great quote. Treat yourself like you would treat your best friend with kindness, understanding, and a healthy dose of humor.
That really resonates. We hold ourselves to these crazy standards sometimes. The sources also mention practicing mindfulness for quieting the critic. How does being present help?
Well, mindfulness is about being aware of the present moment without judgment. When you're truly present, you're less likely to get lost in worrying about the past or stressing about the future.
Which is where the critic loves to hang out.
Precisely. That's its playground. By focusing on the here and now, you create a bit of space between you and those critical thoughts. You can see them just as thoughts passing by, not as undeniable truths.
Right. You observe the gremlin, but don't get into a big argument with it. And then there's cultivating a supportive inner dialogue.
Yeah, this is about actively working to make your internal chatter more positive, more encouraging. The sources suggest things like giving the critic a silly name to make it less intimidating.
Huh. Like Nigel the Naysayer.
Exactly. Or consciously turning negative statements positive. Even picturing the critic as like a stand-up comedian whose jokes just aren't landing. It's all about deliberately building a kinder inner voice, one that's on your side.
So it's really rounded approach, hitting that negativity from different angles. And finally, your notes mentioned maintaining a positive mindset as something ongoing to stop slipping back.
Yes, it's not like you fix it once and you're done. It's ongoing work. It means staying aware, choosing positive influences, being kind to yourself consistently, recognizing that, yeah, negative thoughts might still pop up sometimes.
But now you have ways to deal with them.
Exactly. You have the toolkit ready to manage them when they do appear.
It's also interesting how the sources touch on the origin story of the critic. There's a quick societal pressures, past stuff, self-doubt. Thinking about where that voice came from could be helpful too, maybe.
Oh, definitely. Realizing that the inner critic often started as some kind of misguided attempt to protect you, even if it does it badly, can really change how you see it.
Makes it less of an enemy.
Yeah, maybe a bit easier to approach with understanding, not just judgment, which in turn makes it easier to challenge its often faulty logic.
Okay, so this resilience building isn't just about managing the critic. The sources also link it strongly to goals and progress,
yeah.
Right? How do those fit in?
Well, setting clear, achievable goals is apparently a really powerful way to boost resilience. When you know where you're heading, what you're aiming for, it gives you direction and motivation. That makes it easier to navigate setbacks. And actually, achieving goals, even small ones, builds your confidence. It proves to yourself you can overcome things. The sources suggest breaking big goals down into smaller steps.
Little wins along the way?
Exactly. It creates momentum, builds belief.
Like having a map.
Yeah.
Even if you hit a detour, you still know the destination. And your notes mention visualizing the goals, too.
Yes. Really picturing achieving the goal, feeling that sense of accomplishment. That can be a super strong motivator, especially when things get hard.
Keep your eyes on the prize.
Kind of, yeah. And achieving even those small intermediate goals reinforces that feeling of being in control, being capable, which are, you know, core parts of resilience.
And then, this feels really key, the sources stress actually acknowledging and celebrating progress, even the small stuff.
Absolutely vital. Vital for building resilience, vital for pushing back against self-limiting beliefs. When you celebrate progress, however small, you're reinforcing the positive actions.
Right.
It boosts your self-esteem, and it gives you concrete proof against whatever nonsense the inner critic is spouting. It shifts your focus from what you think you failed at to what you actually did accomplish.
So it's like building a positive feedback loop. Each win makes you more resilient for the next challenge.
Precisely that. You're building a stronger, more positive story inside your head, countering the negativity and laying down a solid foundation of self-belief. You know, feeling effective.
Well, this has been incredibly useful. It's just so clear that resilience isn't fixed. It's something you can actively build, especially by getting a handle on that internal conversation.
Exactly. And hopefully, now you have a clearer set of tools, spotting the negative patterns, challenging them, being kinder to yourself, using mindfulness, linking it all to your goals and progress.
Yeah.
All aimed at identifying, questioning, and ultimately turning down the volume on that inner critic. This is Deep Dive Lesson 2 in practice, really, giving you concrete things to try.
So as everyone listening reflects on this, maybe think about this.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about societal expectations and past experiences shaping that inner critic.
Mm-hmm.
Take a moment later, perhaps, and consider what specific pressures or past events might have shaped your inner critic. How could understanding its unique origin story give you even more power to challenge its stories and strengthen your own resilience journey? That's definitely something to mull over. Thanks for diving deep with us today.